Hello and welcome back to the DLRP Roundup podcast, where we're bringing you the latest news from Disneyland Paris as quick as we possibly can. We kick off with the pins for December. I know we're a little bit in at December now, but there's been so much happening and so many podcasts that I felt we were overloading you, so this one is about the latest pins. We have now left the ceremony and the anniversary of Mickey's 90th birthday, and we've gone back to regular pin releases. So while there is a classic booster set of Mickey and Friends, it's nothing you haven't particularly seen before, there's a booster set for Winnie the Pooh and Friends, again, something you've seen before. We've started to leak into Christmas with a Christmas pin. We have a group pin. We've got the characters from Inside Out, which I've not seen before. And then we have a couple of Mickey Mouse ones for celebrating Mickey Mouse, but they don't have 90th on them. They don't have anything celebrating that. So there's a couple of cool pins that have come out, but nothing spectacular. These pins are, of course, available in Disneyland Paris, and the exclusive pins are the Mickey Mouse and the Minnie Mouse ones are available on December the 8th. You can have the exclusive ones at the Pueblo Trading Post in Frontierland on Saturday the 15th of December. And those ones, again, I'm not entirely... One of them says Happy 2019. Bon année, so I kind of get that. So 15 days early, you can get a 2019 pin. I don't really see the appeal to that. You can get Baloo and Mowgli. You can get Minnie Mouse and her cat, who's called Figaro. And then you can get a magic carpet one, which is cool, but again, I don't really see the relevance. Maybe somebody else can tell me what the relevance is in either the comments, or they can drop us a reply on Twitter. And on the 22nd of December, we've got the Inside Out ones. So again, they're not amazing. People will obviously buy them. They are limited runs, so people will buy them, but I don't think they're that fantastic this month. The only one that's going to come out is there's a Phantom Manor one right down at the bottom. That is available from Saturday the 22nd of December, and the Phantom Manor one is obviously a little nod to the fact that the Phantom Manor is almost returning. It's been closed for many, many months in Disneyland Paris and is hotly anticipated to come back. It's been taken a full internal refurb, and the idea behind that is to bring it up to date with a new sort of ride system, and on top of that refurb the internals and see if they can make it a little bit simpler on the story, but at the same time try and tell a decent story for Disneyland Paris. So they do have an update they've sent out to us. Now the problem is Disneyland Paris have sent the update out to all the fan sites, but they've done it in the form of an interview, which doesn't necessarily translate very well to people who do podcasts by themselves, and it wouldn't really work well if somebody else was reading the answers. But they sat down with Tom Fitzgerald, who's the creative executive at Disney Imagineering. He is the one that kind of has responsibility for the Phantom Manor, and he says, while they don't have an exact reopening date yet, they are counting down the days. So obviously they have a day in mind, they haven't shared it with any of us, but they've said it will open in spring 2019. Now, we have to take that with a pinch of salt, because they've told us a couple of times that it's absolutely opening soon, and it never actually happened. So apparently, spring 2019, and it is a large refurbishment, a large refurbishment. Some of the things I'm going to take out, I'm going to grab the questions, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you the cool bits within his interview, but I don't want to go through the whole thing word by word because I think that'd be quite boring. But it says Phantom Manor is a beloved attraction for many. Can you tell us about what it means to personally oversee this? And he says, as a child, Halloween was always his favourite time, and his parents were really, really lenient and let him build Halloween walkthroughs to scare his friends and neighbours in the basement. His most exciting moment was when he seen the Haunted Mansion getting built at Disneyland. He shot across there and they went out and seen it when it launched, and he absolutely loved it, and he's enjoyed building Phantom Manor in Disneyland Paris. They then asked what excites you the most about the upcoming reopening, and he says, as they begun renovations for the major attraction Disneyland Paris, they couldn't wait for Phantom Manor. This was the illusioneering they had done in all the domestic Haunted Mansion attractions. Now when he says domestic, the odd thing is this Disneyland Paris asking an American, so when he says domestic he means the American ones. And what they're saying is when they built it and as an original attraction in Disneyland Paris back in 1992, they used the best technology they had then, but there are so many new technologies that they can create illusions with now that they want to bring to Disneyland Paris, and apparently that is in the form of new magic that's coming to this refurbishment of the whole ride. So it's not, this isn't like a little touch up, this isn't a paint job, this isn't just a quick tweak of the ride system, this is an actual massive refurb. And he says the story's always been shrouded in mystery, but they feel that some of the questions need answered and new questions need posed. So it says the questions we've got here are: who is the Phantom, who is the bride, what happened many years ago that led to all this? And it says that some of these will be revealed. It doesn't say which, but these will unfold before your eyes. And I think that's spectacular. I mean, the odd thing is we don't know who the Phantom really is. We don't know what he's done or why he takes the bride, but he does. And we also want to find out who she is. And I mean, it's rumoured in the sort of, it's rumoured if you go around Thunder Mesa and you go around and you read some of the stories, like I think her name's Wilmot, and she's got a story to tell. Weimer, it's Weimer's sausages, that's it. I'm just thinking while I'm trying to put it all in my head. And it tells you the story of the Indians, and it tells you the story of Fuente del Oro and the massive argument with the coin finders, the gold diggers that came to Thunder Mesa, and then obviously the overseer of the town, which was supposed to be the sort of Phantom Manor and where the overseer of the town lived. Now it's kind of loosely put together, I don't know the entire story, but I'm interested to see what Disneyland Paris come out with. And of course they can reimagine the story at any time. So they say everybody has been dying a terrible pun, obviously, to see what's been up, and they are really excited to show us. I mean, there's nothing in that. Spring 2019, the Phantom Manor is going to reopen. I imagine it's going to have fantastic queues on it. What we've seen is they've done the outside now, and you can currently just go back into the Phantom Manor Gardens just now, and you can, they will be doing Fastpass when it reopens. So Fastpass was never available on the Phantom Manor, however that has now been added, which will obviously increase queue times even more if you don't have a fast pass, and obviously if you do have a fast pass, it'll reduce queue times for you. However, it was never a particularly long queue ride. It's one of those interesting ones that can move an awful lot of people. I mean, the ride eats people. It literally just continually loads, it continually moves guests, so it's always been a very fast loading attraction. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to the wait times there. Always initially be a new attraction, and always with the newest, it will be the newest attraction in Disneyland Paris, apart from kind of PhilharMagic, which is a sit down theatre. This ride will be the latest updated ride. Obviously Big Thunder had its update, which has now got the end sequence that wasn't there before. I don't want to ruin it for anybody who's not seen it. So I think it's interesting that we've seen that. Space Mountain's got Hyperspace Mountain, so that's another sort of, not an original attraction, but a kind of early attraction that's been updated. I think Indiana Jones has had its update, it's now finished, and it means that I think Pirates might be up for a little bit of plussing soon. There's no, I mean, it's already got Jack Sparrow now, but I think we can expect a little bit of plussing on Pirates of the Caribbean, because I think they could do a little bit more there. Maybe not. That's just my view on it. And of course, there is the rumour, that isn't so much a rumour, more a confirmation for Disneyland Paris, that part of the expansion of the Walt Disney Studios also has some $500 million or so put aside for the Disneyland Park in Paris. And it's not been stated, but we think that's on top of an already committed set of funds for Disneyland Paris that are happening. So it should be a really interesting time. Now that we're done with the Phantom Manor, I just want to talk really quickly on the fact that we have some confirmations that have come forward. So we know that the visuals for the first Marvel superhero season, the second one in total, is coming, and on that we have a cast of characters that are very interesting. It looks very much like a DVD release, it looks exactly like a Marvel release, and we've been told now on fairly strong grounds that under no circumstances does the Marvel universe that exists in the theme parks, does that tie into the movie universe. So the theme parks have a separate universe, so different things can happen that doesn't necessarily tie in with the main storylines of the movie. We have Captain Marvel in the visual, and we know she's going to be meeting exclusively at Disneyland Paris. We've got Thor, we've got Iron Man, we've got Captain America, we've got Spider-Man, we have Groot, we have Black Panther, and we have I don't know who the other one is, but in there as well. Black Widow. Yeah, I think it is Black Widow, it looks like Black Widow. And that obviously launches on March the 23rd and goes on all the way up until we almost reach summer and ends on June 16th. So it's going to be a fantastic season, actually. I'm really excited to see what they come out with that. They've obviously got the award-winning show. Well, I call it the award-winning show. It'd be an award-winning show if it actually ran. But they have that show in the studios, and it pretty much all takes place in the studios. Yeah, it's all in the studios. So there's a lot going to be happening for the Marvel season of superheroes. You're not allowed to call it Summer of Superheroes now, because it's not the Summer of Superheroes. So we don't want to say that. Now, Mickey's 90th has just finished in Disneyland Paris, and a very interesting thing happened right at the end of the party. So after the party, they sent out a survey to everybody who had tried to get tickets or had tickets, and on it, it tells at the bottom, join us again on the 22nd of March 2019 for the next annual pass night, where you will need to choose your side. Now, that's my very bad French converting that there. But what they've told us, effectively, if you line it up, is we have the Pirates and Princess festival on at that time, and it tells us we're going to have to choose our side. So there is going to be an annual pass party that is literally based on Pirates and Princesses and you choosing your side, which I think is an absolutely fantastic idea. And I think Disneyland Paris should really be credited for advertising it, one, this far in advance. That is spectacular, because it gives us time to book hotels and book flights. But secondly, for picking another thing that was just an absolute favourite everybody at Disneyland Paris last year. So that, again, is a fantastic party that's going to take place. This one, the Mickey one, was £42 or £44 or something like that. So it'll probably be a similar price. And it's limited to 5,000 people. So rumours it's limited to 5,000 people. Pirates and Princesses, I think we can guess what some of the characters might be for that. And I think if you've seen kind of Minnie's Pirate tutorial and things, I think we can kind of get a flavour of what we're going to get at that party. It's maybe a bit early to say now, but I think it's going to be a spectacular party. The only thing I would say is I would like a little parade. I know we got some projections at Mickey's party, and I know that we got some fantastic character meets, and we got a cool little stage show. Again, I think it's all incredible. I just think what we could be doing, Minnie's Pirate Tutorial should definitely be in there. Fantastic it was when it happened at the Halloween soiree a couple of years ago, 2014 maybe. It was fantastic. And I secondly think some pirate meet and greets with Jack Sparrow and such would be very popular. But on top of that, I think a small parade or cavalcade or something could be quite cool. Maybe they can't do it, but it doesn't have to be spectacular. Just bring up Pirates and Princesses like in a different way on their floats. They already have the floats behind the scenes. They already got the pirate and the princess floats, but doing something a little bit different, maybe getting everybody in pirate gear, some characters that haven't normally been on it, just something a bit special for the night. They don't have to go and build new floats. On top of that, we've got a little bit of news for the village now, and that is the reopening of the steakhouse in the Disney Village. It's been redecorated entirely inside and looks a lot more snazzy. It's based in Chicago, so it's the Chicago Beef Warehouse with the purveyors of quality meat. So the idea obviously is this is the restaurant that is attached to the beef station, and it's supposed to be based in America. They have sent us the menus and things, and they say that several months of work were needed to transform the whole kitchen in order to optimize the flow of production and storage, but also refurbish the entire bar and reception area. I mean, they've basically done throughout, though. It's not a case of they've just done the bar and the reception area. They seem to have done quite a lot, and they've touched it up, and it was closed for a long, long time, actually. Immersing itself in the history of Chicago, the steakhouse evolved from a meat warehouse at the beginning of the last century to a theatre during the 1920s to finally become the elegant establishment that welcomes you today. And that was made popular in the 1950s and 60s by famous powerful politicians and powerful industrialists who, with the legendary musicians, created the movement known as the Chicago Sound. Have a nice meal. So it goes on like that. The starters, I mean, just to give you a clue on price, and this is not a cheap place to eat, it is a premium restaurant in Disneyland Paris for anybody who's using the meal plan. The starters come in about 13 to 16 euros. And then for the steaks, you're looking at about 30 euros minimum, going up to 40 and one at 50 there. So it's up to you. I mean, the desserts are up at 15 euros as well. So, I mean, it is not a cheap place to eat, but if you're on the meal plan, you probably don't give a hoot. So you can go there and you can eat. Now, I was in there once before. I wasn't too impressed, so I'm glad they've done it up, because I think it'll be far better now. And I think that it's nice to see Disneyland Paris making a commitment, because it was a very slow place to eat before. Steak can be slow because everybody's really picky on how they like their steak cooked. Personally, I don't like steak. So that kind of stopped me from eating. And other than that, Disneyland Paris have not much more news now, but we are going to be covering, probably in our next episode, I know I've teased this for a little while, we're probably going to try and cover the expansion of the Walt Disney Studios, because we've not done that yet, and I feel that we're going to break it down into three parts and look at the three different areas that they're expanding. So the Marvel area we'll probably do first, followed by the Star Wars one. We're waiting for some details in Star Wars because it's come to an almost completion in California, and there's some new information about Florida. And I think that soon we're going to get some information about Paris's version of Star Wars. And then finally, we're going to talk about the Frozen Land, which, again, there's so much exciting news coming on that and so many different versions of what we could be getting. And that doesn't mention the general expansion of the park that even is bigger. There's just so much more happening. It's a huge expansion to Disneyland Paris. And we're told that very, very soon there's going to be details released on the Disney Village overhaul. Which again, I mean, that stretches from being just the Disney Village to possibly a new lake hotel where the events arena is, to the possibility of more shops, to the possibility, well, not the possibility of, but the new bus stands that's been built, and the new walkways, and kind of the new lake show that's going in Lake Disney. I mean, there's so much happening there alone. So I want to cover that in a more fulsome podcast, and I don't want to do it on this one because we've already dragged our time far on. I know your time is valuable to you. One final note, it was sad to see today that Steve Riley, who runs the Dedicated to DLP podcast, who I have been a guest on, and I've known Steve for many, many years, and I've met him at Disneyland Paris and had a fantastic dinner at Lagrange above Billy Bob's, which was kind of the first Disneyland Paris fan I met when I went to Disneyland Paris, and he was the one that kind of got me in love with the online community on Twitter and obviously started my site with that. So he has decided to step down and not do his podcast anymore. So as everyone does, they all have real life things that pop up, and his interests have kind of moved on. So if you're listening, Steve, thank you very much for everything you've given. 125 episodes of Dedicated to Disneyland Paris, and then obviously the Disney newscast that you've done previous to that. It was fantastic to listen to all these years, and I can't think about how long I have listened to your podcast. And I think everybody here, if you think almost the podcast ran at, you know, an hour 30 over 125 episodes, you are already in excess 150, almost, you know, you're almost up at 200 hours you've had us captive if everybody has listened, and it's been fantastic. So Steve, very best of luck to you, and that is about everything I've got left to cover today. So thank you very much for listening to the Dedicated. This isn't the day that we've just said goodbye to the Dedicated to DLP podcast. Thank you very much for listening to the DLRP Roundup. And it is my pleasure to say, after all that news and before the next set of news comes in, that's a roundup and goodbye.